The life-threatening winter challenges of these early days of 2022 echo the wintry brutality Texas endured last winter.
It's pretty cold inside. Last night, the temperature got down to about 37 degrees.
The power outages for millions spiraling into a health crisis.
Like, I've had dead people come in with higher temperatures than some of these patients.
I just got power on after 36 hours. I'm over it. We need some help.
Last February, Winter Storm Uri dumped snow, ice, and freezing temperatures across much of the southern U.S. In Texas, the conditions overloaded the state's power grid and left 10 million people without power for days on end. According to the Texas Department of State Health Services, 246 people died as a result of the storm and the freezing conditions that followed. And while Texas typically is spared the worst of winter, unpredictable patterns associated with global climate change have residents asking if the state's infrastructure is ready for the next storm. Phil Jankowski is a reporter covering politics and infrastructure at Dallas Morning News.
The United States is roughly divided into three large power grids, East, West, and Texas. That's how it's set up here. It's very individualized. There aren't that many interconnections between Texas and the rest of the country. And the reason for that, I'm sure you might be asking.
I'm thinking why?
Yeah, the real reason for that is to avoid federal regulations, plain and simple. In special circumstances, the size of the state allowed it essentially to create a standalone power grid. And when Roosevelt created legislation that said that federal regulators would regulate interstate electric transmission, that's when Texas said, okay, we need to avoid that.
Now, why did they want to avoid it? Is it a cost issue? Is it about having that federal oversight? Is it just a Texas does it Texas's way?
A little bit of both. Texas does have a very strong history of being an independent state, going back to just the origins of the state itself. But throughout its history, the state has long been very wary of the federal government, dating back to Reconstruction. So you're just sort of seeing, old wounds that can be traced all the way back to the Civil War playing out in infrastructure policy, as kind of bizarre as that is.
Now, when you talk about old wounds, let's talk about a more recent wound or pain, and that is the winter storm last year. Remind folks what Texas went through.
We went through what many, and especially those north of the Mason-Dixon line, would consider a bad cold snap. But down here in Texas, it was a natural disaster. It was basically about five and a half days of sustained temperatures across the state below freezing, decent amounts of snowfall in places that would never see that. The sustained amount of freezing temperatures led to power infrastructure to start failing. There was a double whammy of demand on the power grid going up because people were having to run their heaters 24 hours a day, which is just doesn't really happen often here. And then the big problem was that as that was happening, you were having at all stages of power infrastructure failures happening because of freezes.
Given that you've given us this sort of power grid east, west in Texas, and that the reason that Texas is standing alone has to do with, in part, the sort of long history of a very particular relationship with the federal government. Are there internal sort of what we might think of as partisan politics within the state, right? So if Texas is on its own grid, oftentimes once there's no outside, fight to be had with the federal government, then you start seeing the fights emerge internally. Is this, and I know it sounds odd, but is infrastructure in this sense, the Texas power grid, is it a partisan issue in the state?
Oh, absolutely. Like everywhere else. We're gearing up this year, not only for midterm elections, but also a whole slate of statewide elections. So notably, Beto O'Rourke is seeking to challenge Governor Greg Abbott, our governor, and has made the power grid one of his leading talking points, talking about how the power grid failed on Abbott's watch. And that's a reason for the failure of his leadership and why voters should be turning towards him this year as opposed to Abbott. And interestingly enough, we've got primaries coming up too. And so you're actually seeing Republicans that are running further to the right of Abbott, who's very conservative himself, that are also talking about the failures of the power grid. In response to that, Governor Abbott has made many assurances that the lights will stay on this winter, and has really kind of gone all in on that.
Obviously, the incumbent governor, Greg Abbott, has been extremely positive in his public narrative about this, saying that that everything is going to be fine and that the grid is able and ready to handle, you know, any stressors that are coming to it this winter. I'm wondering, you know, especially as you sort of have pointed to how important this issue is, how sort of very human it is in terms of how people experienced it. You know, sort of what you make of this positive language. Is it on the one hand just a good idea to keep the public from panicking, or is this setting up expectations that might not be able to be met?
If what happened in February 2021 happens again this winter, we're going to see widespread outages again. That's just a fact. Maybe it won't be quite as bad because of the weatherization of power plants, but the agency that runs the grid put out a report recently that basically said that there will be some outages if Texas sees what it saw in an earlier event in 2011, that there would be outages across the state. And that's how they based their standards for that report. The February 2021 event was far worse. So you can only imagine, you know, what would happen. Well, actually, we don't have to imagine. We've already felt it if we see that again. So Abbott is saying one thing, but the agency that runs the grid, which is appointees of his, is saying another thing. So the grid most likely is not prepared for a repeat of what happened in 2021.
That was Phil Jankowski, a reporter covering politics and infrastructure at Dallas Morning News.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.